There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We've got a little contest running for people who are interested in the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. One of our members donated 2 one-year memberships in Paracast Plus. They're normally worth $50 each. And what we're doing here is we're asking those of you who think you deserve a free membership to post a message in our forum at forum.theparacast.com, forum.theparacast.com. It's free to sign up. There's a clearly labeled topic or thread about Paracast Plus and why you would want a free membership. And obviously, we'll look at people who maybe you haven't got the money, you're a student, you're retired, and you can't afford to pay $50 a year. We'll consider that. Otherwise, we welcome your membership. You get After the Paracast, which is an exclusive podcast only available to Paracast Plus members, plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Now, as James Carrion said in his comments in our previous segment, he's not destroying the entire edifice of UFO research if we find out that there were intelligence activities early on. Now, after you came out with the Rosetta Deception, I gather you've expanded the book?
Sure, absolutely. I'm actually doing a rewrite of the book right now. It's going to be doubling in length because I've been still doing ongoing research, and I've actually found out quite a few very interesting things related to the book, things that I'm expanding upon, new information that I found recently. Probably one of the most intriguing things was the fact that this gentleman who, Swedish intelligence officer who was very much involved in the early reports of ghost rockets, was later convicted to be a Russian spy by the Swedish government. So there are things that I found, pieces of information I found early on in my research that I'm now coming back to. And as I circle back to it, I'm finding more pieces of information. It's leading to other interesting tidbits and other interesting documents. In fact, I'm headed to the National Archives tomorrow because I have a whole bunch of research I'm doing. I already select records I've picked out to try to find other evidence that shows and bolster the case that the ghost rockets are really Cold War intrigue. You know, we're talking about early Cold War here, even before the use of the word Cold War, part of an intelligence history that most Americans don't know about.
Now, why is it then that it became part of the UFO lexicon? Because of lights in the sky?
Yeah, honestly, I don't think so. I think that when the ghost rockets were first, the story about ghost rockets was first put out there, and the deception behind this, I don't think the deception planners had any inkling or any idea that this could be associated with extraterrestrial visitation or aliens or anything from outside the Earth. I think they had a very finite idea about what they were doing in terms of how they're going to push the deception, and it got misinterpreted later. So it was misinterpreted by the general population and then ufology in general at a later date. So there's nothing in the ghost rocket reports that say ET.
I would agree with that, Gene. You know, well, Donald Kehoe is the one that would popularize it, but I think other people were looking at it. Some of the early Fordians, they were looking at earlier events to connect to the UFO reports. And they weren't necessarily, well, the Fordians were kind of thinking about the extraterrestrial angle, but originally it was just, you know, what else is there? The ghost rockets were fresh in people's minds, but they were also looking at airships and other things. And they folded in a lot of this in to add substance to the early flying saucer phenomenon.
Was it felt maybe that if you show that maybe the presence of UFOs didn't begin on June 24th, 1947 with Kenneth Arnold, it would add more credibility to it? So you look back into possible early sightings, and anything that smacked of lights in the sky was part of the list if it wasn't immediately explained away as conventional?
You know, I would think so. I think it really started with Kenneth Arnold's sightings, and then the explosion that happened in the media from his sighting, where folks started looking up into the sky and saying, I wonder what that is. You know, is it more than just our military? Is it more than just, you know, these new jets that are flying around? Could there be something else here? So I think it became sort of a media sensation that really triggered the, you know, sort of this popular cultural myth that we know about today.
Now, after you appeared last summer on the Paracast, Stanton Friedman came on a couple of weeks later, and he also made comments in our forums regarding your book, first before he read it, then after he read it, and then a little bit later on, back on August 10th, Don Berliner had comments, kind of saying pretty much the same thing. Well, they know that something happened then and that you're not considering all the possible instances of these ghost rockets.
You know, I think, honestly, it really boils down to, I'll just say it, I'll just be blunt about it. You know, Stanton Friedman, Don Berliner, and a lot of other folks that are in, you know, this field are intellectual cowards. They're cowards because when presented evidence, irrefutable evidence, documented evidence, they refuse to argue evidence. They'll do everything to dismiss it, summarily dismiss it, point me to other cases they think are real, make any argument except actually read my book, read it for what it is, look at the documentation behind it, and actually see that this is official documentation, you know, declassified top secret memos. We're not talking about grainy slides that was found in somebody's attic.
We'll have to get into that a little bit later, but go ahead.
Or documents that were inserted into the National Archives and that some postcard told you to go find. We're really talking about hard evidence here, and when ufology refuses to look at it, when they refuse to examine it, it's because it's purely intellectual cowardice.
Is it possible that some ghost rocket reports were UFOs as opposed to this counterintelligence activity?
I can't discount that. Anything's possible. But I would say that the majority of them were not. And not only the majority were not, but the majority of reports were based on manufactured events. We're talking about true deception here. We're talking about the use of our own naval forces that went in and made some of these ghost rocket sightings happen through what they knew how to do best. You know, a lot of folks don't really understand that the how deception was used during World War II and some of the special units that were employed during World War II to make the enemy believe that we were coming into a certain beach, you know, with these large landing craft, when in fact they were just small boats with speakers on them and blowing smoke. If you can make your enemy believe that you're landing a major force on a beach, imagine what you can make a peacetime population think that that's going on. I mean, I think there were enough folks with the skills and the right forces in place that could have made most of these sightings that were allegedly ghost rockets happen. And they weren't really rockets, nor were they extraterrestrial craft.
Well, that raises a bigger question. Having succeeded with ghost rockets, to what extent are events in the UFO mystery really due to some kind of counterintelligence? Now, let me just tell you, we're about to run out of time in the segment, so let's start the answer here. Continue in the next segment. Now, I know that Kurt Collins has questions from our listeners that also relate to this, so let's start here, James. So go ahead with the first part of the answer. Let's continue.
And I'm sorry, I didn't catch the question.
Oh, about to what degree can this be extended to other events in UFO field, counterintelligence?
Oh, understood. Well, I think that, of course, the same operations that kicked off the ghost rockets, that same Cold War intrigue that later morphed into the broader Cold War and the hysteria of the McCarthy era and our archenemy, the Soviet Union, all of that together could have easily created, you know, some of these events that are popularly associated with ufology. I don't know which ones. I can't tell you. I can't tell you exactly which ones. All I know is that there has been enough intelligence interest and intelligence agency interest in this field from a counterintelligence perspective. I mean, we already know that with things like the Paul Benowitz case and Moore's speech at the MUFON symposium, where he revealed that he was an informer for an intelligence agency. So we know that there's enough human involvement here to know that there's going to be continued involvement, because I think they use this field. I think they have an interest in this field for their own purposes, and it really has nothing to do with some massive cosmic Watergate UFO cover-up. I think they're really just using it for more mundane intelligence purposes.
James Carrion is with us with Kurt Collins and Gene Steinberg here in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendovite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. You're remedy close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Kurt Collins as our co-host. Chris will be back next week. He's mourning the passing of his brother Brendan O'Brien this week, and we wish him well. James Carrion is talking now about the Rosetta Deception and the implications thereof, the presence of intelligence activities that might have impacted UFOs. Now, Maury Island is a common case where we see indications of intelligence activity and all the screwy things that happen with, for example, Kenneth Arnold when he went to Tacoma, Washington, where there are no hotels available, but someone already has the reservation. All sorts of screwy things, like talking to a reporter who says he's being recorded in his room. It's tapped. What do you think about that, James?
Well, it has all the trappings, all the markings of a Cold War operation. Who were the folks back then who could bug hotel room? Who were the folks that were adept at psychological manipulation? It was the same intelligence forces that were used during World War II. You know, right after the end of the war in 1945, when the OSS was disbanded by President Truman, there were a lot of people that were out of work. And I'm sure some of these forces ended up working some interesting jobs on behalf of the new intelligence agencies that were there. So we know that there was a skill set out there that was available to pull off something like Maury Island, to create, you know, a deception. And that's something that I'm going to be, you know, talking about in my next book.
To what purpose? I understand the purpose of the ghost rockets. But what about Maury Island?
I think it's actually very much related. In fact, I think Maury Island is probably the early Roswell. What I mean by that is, if you read my book, what my book is basically saying is that the United States and Great Britain, they had an interest in pushing or creating these sensational news stories for one specific reason. They wanted the Russians to become interested in these stories, thinking that it's probably some new U.S. project, some top secret research that was being done, some remanufactured Nazi aircraft that we took away from Germany, whatever you want to say. We wanted the Russians involved. We wanted them to be interested for two reasons. One, we could use it for counterintelligence reasons to find out who had an interest that may indicate who a potential spy is. And the other reason I think, and it's based on, you know, some serious research I've done, is that I think we were interested in using it to break the Soviet diplomatic code, where these Soviet spies would take these newspaper articles, they would condense them, and then they would encode them and send them back to Moscow. Well, at the same time, we were intercepting their coded messages. So we would have then sort of what's called a crib that would let us break into their coding system. So I think it was very much a code-breaking aspect to this.
So it makes the Russians wondering what's going on with these UFOs. Do they represent advanced American aircraft? Do we know something that's going on that they don't? So their spies are work full time.
Absolutely. And think about the time involved here. You know, in 1945, late 1945, we were getting the very early indications that there was this massive Soviet espionage effort going on. We knew that from defectors, from whistleblowers, and from a Soviet code clerk that defected in Ottawa. And we were worried. When I say we, I mean those who were in the community at the time, the intelligence community, who were worried that there was communist infiltration going on. Now we have all these spies running around that we don't know about. And we got to do something. We have to mop these spies up. So I think that the planning for these deceptions happened in late 45. It was crystallized in 46. It started with the ghost rockets, bled over into 47, into Maury Island, and into Roswell. And Kenneth Arnold.
Kurt, there are a lot of questions from our forum from listeners who are just really curious about the work of James Carrion. Can you start asking a few?
As soon as I get one of my own burning questions in, before we go too much further, both your Rosetta Deception and the Roswell book, it looks like they're going to cover the same type of things. And one thing I noticed about the Rosetta Deception was that even if you, a reader, was to disagree with your premise, you laid out several cases, you know, many instances of military operations deception that were just history now, and you use them as example of the kind of operations, but to present it as a contrast to so many other books where if the premise falls flat, you might as well throw the whole book away. But I think that there was quite a bit of value, even if someone disagrees with your overall premise.
I would say that even if you don't agree with my theory about code breaking or the counterintelligence aspect of this, if anything, the book is a good primer on this part of U.S. intelligence history a lot of folks don't know about because there's not a lot written about it. You know, we're talking about what I call the Wild West of U.S. intelligence. This was right after World War II. Like I said, the OSS was being disbanded. There was a lot of jockeying around between the military agencies and, you know, a new civilian agency that was coming into being to find out who was going to emerge as the new intelligence agency, the premier intelligence agency, you know, which eventually obviously became the Central Intelligence Agency, CIA. So it was right within that very specific time period that we have all of this going on. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Without further ado, this one comes from Wade Risdale, and I think we're going to have to almost break this into two parts, but he's addressing the events that you're talking about, Roswell and Maury Island. He said the first four big events happened in a pretty short time frame, and this suggests to me from the very start that military intelligence felt the need to start duping the American public, and I think we'll can agree on that part. Now, this is where it gets tricky. He says, in so doing, created and propagated the extraterrestrial meme. Why do you think this is so? And he goes on to say that with the Soviets, there were already plenty of boogeymen on the planet to get us afraid if manipulating us was the idea. So if you could address that.
Sure. You know, honestly, I don't think that the deception planners had any thought of this becoming an extraterrestrial theme. I don't think they actually had a tie-in between what they were perpetrating and this being from outer space or little green men or people from other planets. They were really trying to portray this as U.S. advanced technology. That's what their interest was in getting the Russians involved and getting the interest of the Russians involved. I don't think they really saw this as some runaway viral thing that was going to happen that would, you know, spawn countless movies and books in later years. They really were focused on let's try to convince the Russians we have something they don't. That really has nothing to do with extraterrestrial. All this extraterrestrial hypothesis and association came much later.
I would agree with that. I recently read a lot of UFO history, and it seems like although there were some people that considered the idea, it was really much a bit later, at least in 1948, where the Charles Whited sighting, where they couldn't explain it unless it was a rocket ship or a spaceship. So it was spacemen were not the very first thought solution when Kenneth Arnold came along.
Well, even to Kenneth Arnold, remember when his own self explanation for what he saw was, I thought there were some secret project that the U.S. was experimenting with. And a lot of folks early on in 1947 were saying, oh, what could this possibly be? Maybe some high-tech project the U.S. is working on. The association or the overwhelming association with something alien, again, didn't start coming until after that.
We've got more questions to come, asked by our guest co-host Kirk Collins. I'm Gene Steinberg. James Carrion will be back in a moment. You're in
the Paracast.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at FreeWaterproofMatch.com. Again, that's FreeWaterproofMatch.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit FreeWaterproofMatch.com today.
It's no secret that government and big business buy in bulk and get huge discounts not available to the little guy. until now. Introducing a breakthrough crowd buying website where people can join together, buy in bulk, and get massive discounts on millions of popular products. It's TogetherSave.com. TogetherSave.com. You can save 20, 30, or even 50% off tablets, smartphones, cars, appliances, textbooks, sports equipment, video games, and much more. All with free delivery. Check it out. TogetherSave.com. Visit now and start group buying today at TogetherSave.com.
The freeze-dry guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The freeze-dry guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The freeze-dry guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNLive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter-producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're exploring the research that James Carrion has done into the early UFO history and the activities by counterintelligence in the U.S. A lot more questions from our listeners. Our co-host this week is Kirk Collins. Kirk, do you have more questions?
There's quite a few. Here's another one from Wade that ties in with what we're talking about. It seems like some of the events were manipulated and some of the information about events were manipulated. But he asks, is there any UFO case you found that seemed genuine, sincere, intriguing, but may have been polluted by disinformation agents? Or even by people, perhaps, he's talking about ufologists, who muddied the waters in an effort to make it look like a better case.
Well, there are some historical cases that, again, I was not the original investigator, so I don't know how, I never had, interviewed the firsthand witnesses. But there are some historical cases that are very intriguing, anything from Portage County, Ohio, to even the Cash Landrum incident. Which I find to be intriguing based on the evidence that was presented. As far as those being muddied, you'd have to look at Portage County. This happened in the 60s. And then here, later on, this happened during my tenure as MUFON International Director. We have someone coming forward saying, hey, I have some new evidence to support that case. And, we let this person come and speak at the MUFON symposium. He sounded sincere. He had some interesting evidence to back up his story. He didn't sound like he had any reason to lie, but as, again, like I said, as these elements of human deception are slowly start to introduce themselves, when I did a very thorough investigation on this person, I found out that his story began to unravel and that really all this new evidence was not new evidence at all. It was simply you can label it a hoax, you can label it as deception. I don't know why this person decided to do this, but all of his story was garbage. So here we have what used to start off as a very interesting historical case that later on someone tries to muddy the waters about. We can use Roswell from the same perspective, because Roswell happened back in 1947. And then what happens later on with these MJ-12 documents that come out? Again, somebody put these documents together? Somebody researched. Somebody had to go in there and forge them if they're forgeries. Who did it? Why did they do it? What is their motivation? There's somebody muddying the waters here. And a lot of times folks will say, oh, there's a money angle to it. Is somebody trying to simply make money off of this? I don't buy that. There's a human deception part to this. And that human deception goes back to the intelligence agencies.
That answered Stan Denista's question, so we'll be moving on to open-minded earthling. There are a few more Roswell questions, and this is about the nature of the crash itself. Do you think it's possible Roswell was a crash of some top-secret aircraft, a prototype or secret design that just crashed and was covered up? The basic question is, what do you think crashed, and how was the information manipulated?
Well, I don't necessarily think we really know whether something crashed or not. We know that debris was found. The thing with Roswell is there's so many alleged witnesses and eyewitnesses and secondhand information out there. It's really hard to sort fact from fiction in this case. And then, as I said, the later introduction of evidence that just muddies the water further really doesn't help it. Here's the thing about Roswell that simply stinks to high heaven for me. And I come from a military intelligence background. One of the first things they tell you in military intelligence is keep your mouth shut, right? The last thing you want to do if you're trying to do something in secret is to draw attention to it. So the fact that something allegedly crashed outside of Roswell, the military recovered it, and then they put out a press release. And not only this wasn't a press release from, you know, the local National Guard unit, it was a press release from the 509th Bomber Group. We're talking about the folks that dropped the atomic bomb on Japan, highly intelligent, handpicked folks that had to have security clearances because of the nature of their job. And you're telling me they're going to put out a press release on this? That does not make any sense from a military intelligence perspective. You don't cover something up by drawing attention to it. You cover something up by keeping your mouth shut, and you can try to explain it away in any number of other reasons. Even, for example, when we exploded the first atomic bomb at Trinity, there was a cover story already in place for that. The cover story was there was an ammo dump that blew up. So if something got out to the public and the public started questioning why, you know, what blew up, they already had a way to cover that up. The fact that somebody found some debris outside Roswell doesn't make any sense in terms of putting out a press release that goes worldwide, draws instant attention to this event, and draws the, you know, all of these interested media, you know, hounds that come in, and they make it this big news event. That's not the way you cover up an event.
Do you ever think here, and this may be the reason why you had the denial in the afternoon, oh, no, it was only a balloon, that somebody just screwed up. Somebody may be looking for attention, posted this thing, made it public. They were said, what the heck did you do? That was a dumb decision, and that's why they had to have the announcement that it really wasn't a crash disk after all.
I would accept that, again, if the unit that put out the press release was the local National Guard unit, but not the 509th Bomber Group. That simply doesn't fly.
So there had to be a legitimate purpose to put that out.
Absolutely. I think you can. I was really trying to find this interview the later day in my research. I think it was an interview done with the one of the radio announcers in Roswell, where when the press release was delivered, I think it was delivered to him. He actually questioned putting it out. He said to Walter Hout, "Are you sure you want me to put this out? This doesn't make any sense." So here you have a civilian questioning a military guy about a press release being put out. To me, that tells me it was put out on purpose, not for the reasons that most people in this field think it is. I think it was put out as part of this deception operation. They really needed to make this thing go viral.
One thing on that is that we often get confused by our modern definition of what flying saucer is. And at the time, it was just a general term for a mysterious flying thing. And so we may get more excited over this old newspaper clipping than it really is worth. And we're bringing all our baggage in Stanton Friedman's version of a flying saucer when we see that. And it didn't necessarily mean near what it does today.
Well, yeah, I would agree. And not to mention that, you know, ufology loves to gloss over evidence. When it doesn't fit, they simply discard it. So if we look, for example, at what was happening, you know, right after Kenneth Arnold's sighting and all of these saucers were being seen all over the United States, they fail to point out all of the news stories about things that were found besides Roswell. Like, for example, down in Texas, we're on a beach. This disc supposedly washed up, and written on it said, property of the U.S. Army Air Force. If found, call Spokane, Washington, and call this one particular colonel and report it because it's a top-secret project. Why isn't that ever mentioned by the ufologists? Because it doesn't fit their ET hypothesis. It does fit, it'll fit a human deception theory, but not their hypothesis. Or let's take, for example, the Battle of L.A., right? What a lot of ufologists gloss over is just a couple of days before that, there were a couple of Japanese submarines that surfaced off the coast of California and started shelling the beach and shelling the dock. So what's more plausible, that there were ET craft flying over Los Angeles, or was it just folks that had war nerves because they had just received their first beating from the Japanese? This was the only time the Japanese had actually attacked our homeland besides at Pearl Harbor.
I've got another Roswell question here, and this is actually something I think that you tackled in the forums, but I think that the listeners would be interested in this. This is from Ken Karras. Were Brigadier Generals Exxon and DuBose lying in telling that Roswell was an extraterrestrial event?
You know, some it may be the same person who posted it on the forum, but I asked the question. My response was, do you have an affidavit? Is there an affidavit that actually says that these two generals said that this was an extraterrestrial craft? I never got a response to that. There's been rumors, and you know, there was an investigator who claimed that he had interviewed the general and one of the generals, and he was told this is all hearsay. What I'd like to see is a real affidavit to back that up.
And there was there's some general questions about ufology and the understanding the nature of the event.
We'll get into the general questions and so much more. Our guest co-host is Kurt Collins. We have James Carrion and Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
As the New World Order continues to tighten its grip on every facet of our lives, we're all asking ourselves, how can we maintain our independence? The answer is clear. Get prepared, and you get prepared now. Now the only question left is, where do we begin? My Patriot Supply is here to help. Call 800-247-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. We're even covering the cost of shipping. Are you willing to rely on the government and FEMA in the event of an emergency? Call 800-274-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. You won't be able to find this deal online, and there is a strict limit of 4 per caller, so don't wait. Call now, 800-274-3070. That's 800-274-3070. Call right now.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
James Carrion is here, and we're progressing for another 5 segments to discuss all his research. Obviously focus a lot on early intelligence activities that may have happened in place of perceived UFO events. Intriguing. It's also intriguing if you go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We have another radio show called After the Paracast. It's only available to those of you who subscribe to the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. Check it out. We also give you the ad-free version of this show with a higher quality audio file. We got video content coming. And for those who subscribe to 1 year or more, you get a copy of Stalking the Tricksters by Chris O'Brien. So let's continue. Kirk Collins, more questions.
This sounds like a Jacques Vallée fan. This is an open-minded earthling again. He says, humans have a long history of being interested in strange, skyward objects, otherworldly beings for religious and spiritual belief systems. Many of these beliefs have been vanquished by science, but now the old flying saucer concept is dying out too. The youth is going in another direction with newer quantum, multidimensional, and information science concepts. It's the new metaphorical wording to describe what humans have always been thinking about. Comments?
Well, I don't know if it's dying out. I think that newer generations, you know, they associate ufology with their parents or their grandparents, and so they want to do something different. It's very popular, I think, in with the younger generation to go ghost hunting. You know, that seems sexy to them to actually, you know, have an encounter with the paranormal by going to a haunted house and trying to, pick up EVP recordings. So I think I'm not so sure that it's dying out. I think maybe it's just changed. It's a different mentality. It's a different culture. We instant gratification has a lot to do with it. And the problem with the UFO field is that it doesn't actually, cater to the instant gratification generation. I mean, who wants to watch, some strange light on YouTube? They want to see something, very, sensational. And so the problem is what's sensational on YouTube are a lot of the hoax videos that have come out, those that are dramatic and show up close ET craft, coming in very close and flying around and astounding everybody, only to be proved later to be hoaxes. So it's really hard. I think, you know, there's too much junk out there to really say that, you know, the younger generation or that this subject is dying out. I think it's just morphing into a different aspect.
Which aspect are you talking about? Where is the field going?
I think the field is going towards, you know, more, you know, honestly, it's more mythology promoting. It's unfortunate. I really don't think anybody, there are a lot of folks out there who have a sincere interest in doing hardcore research. You know, MUFON wants to play lip service to it. They want to say they have all these corporate backers and all these scientists. I don't think it's going to get very far because there's no transparency there. So the hardcore science has simply shied away from this. So what we're left with is sensationalizing, mythology promoting, docutainment, lots of good cable TV shows out there that entertain people because it allegedly shows real investigation. But it's going to end up with just, you know, more junk in the landfill. That's what I would like to say.
I'm wanting to go back. You made some more comments about MUFON. Is problems that you have with ufology and MUFON in particular, do you think that it's something that can be fixed?
It can be fixed if maybe there's a change of leadership. The problem is that the leadership of MUFON is basically it's made up of a board of believers. They believe that UFOs are extraterrestrial. There's no open-mindedness there. There's no skepticism as far as maybe there's another explanation. If there was, they would be promoting that level of research. Instead, they ignore it. And like anyone else who's a sensational seeking or any of these folks that make the rounds of the talk circuits and the conferences, they have no interest in solving. They just have an interest in perpetuating.
You know, that reminds me of something that Major Donald Kehoe said maybe, 50 years ago, where he was moving his organization, NICAP, to get congressional hearings. They got the hearings. It brought the Condon report. Didn't help very much. But he said at the time, our purpose is to put NICAP out of business. If we get the congressional hearings, we get serious scientific attention. They take it over. They try to find out what's happening, what UFOs are all about. We've served our purpose. We could move on. So he envisioned the end of NICAP, whereas today MUFON doesn't envision an end. They expect us to go on for as long as people will pay a membership fee every year or a lifetime membership fee to remain in the organization. There's no incentive to say it's time to move on. We've got the acceptance we want because the acceptance puts them out of business.
Well, you know, honestly, if MUFON's motto is to investigate this for the benefit of humanity, that means to come up with real answers. And it's not to perpetuate their organization, not to continue their social club, not to try to keep themselves in business. It's really about finding answers and to provide answers to the general public. If all you're doing is drumming up more questions and you're not actually providing answers, you're providing a disservice. But I would like to go back to what you just said about NICAP because, you know, a lot of folks don't know that on the board of NICAP was a very interesting individual by the name of Admiral Roscoe Hillenkoetter.
Oh, right. Yes, we've mentioned this.
And Mr. Hillenkoetter has a very interesting history in the intelligence field. He was the first director of the CIA. And before that, he was involved in a number of deception operations and a number of intelligence operations from World War II into the Ghost Rockets all the way into his tenure on the board of NICAP. So you have to ask yourself, why would an ex-CIA director have any interest in this field whatsoever, unless maybe there's some ulterior motive there. Maybe there's something that continues to be of usefulness to the intelligence agencies, and he was part of that.
Now, the excuse at the time was that he was a classmate at Annapolis of Major Kehoe's. They were old friends. That's why he agreed for a time to serve on that board.
True, and I can understand that line of reasoning. What I will show, and actually my rewrite of the Rosetta deception, is that along with that classmate, there were a number of other classmates that ended up very interesting positions that had to do with the Rosetta deception.
Was Kehoe a part of that deception? Let's turn this thing on its ear.
That I can't say. I don't know enough about Kehoe. I don't know enough about his background. That I could not say with any certainty.
I met Kehoe a few times. He seemed like a personable gentleman. He seemed sincere enough. So I don't know.
Sure. And I think, you know, there are a mixture of people in this field. I think a lot of times folks, they get this idea that if there is cover up, if there is deception, that if there is conspiracy, it has to be so many individuals all centrally coordinated, all orchestrating this major event. And that's actually not true. It doesn't take a lot of control to get deception going. That was proven during World War II. It was practiced during World War II. And the key folks that were involved in those deception operations happened to be in the same positions of power when in 1946 and 1947, when these major events that I'm investigating happened. And in fact, there's a precedent to this. If you read World War II history, then you would know what the London Controlling Section is. It's the British organization that practiced deception against the Germans. In the United States, it's called Joint Security Control. I have documents that show Hoyt Vandenberg was a member of Joint Security Control. General McDonald was a member of Joint Security Control. These are folks that knew how to perpetrate deception, and they were in the right place at the right time to do it.
So what we're saying here is that people who were part and parcel of early information about UFOs mentioned in concern with documents about UFOs were also intelligence people.
But they were not just any intelligence people. They were the folks in intelligence that were responsible for strategic deception.
Well, obviously that shows a lot. But do you think the presence of the former head of the CIA on NICAP may have indicated that NICAP itself was engaged in some kind of counterintelligence activity? I mean, it was heavily laden with ex-military. Now, we only have about 40 seconds for this segment, so you can start the answer now. We'll pick it up.
I think that, you know, wherever there was any interest in high technology or the possibility of high technology being used, in other words, if the Russians thought UFO craft were really U.S. secret operations, then there would be a Russian espionage interest, and therefore there's going to be a counterintelligence interest on the part of the U.S.
We have James Carrion, his book, Being Modified Now as We Speak, The Rosetta Deception. There is a Roswell deception coming up. We'll ask about Roswell slides and a lot more of your questions, listeners. Our guest co-host is Kurt Collins. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.